Let's go to Nick Sirianni's press conference right now.
Emotional games a couple years ago. Obviously, a bunch of different faces on both teams, but from the core level, the 49ers have a bunch of similar faces from Shanahan to Lynch to Purdy to McCaffrey, et cetera. What can you say about just what that group has accomplished? Obviously, they haven't won the biggest game, but what they've accomplished in your history with preparing against them, I should say.
Yeah, I have so much respect for this football team. They've had sustained success. You know, Kyle's done an unbelievable job there. And, you know, a ton of respect for him and then their players. You know, there is a lot of familiar faces. There are, you know, a bunch of guys that are really good players, which is why they're still playing there. And so can't tell you how much respect I have for this football team. You can see how well coached they are. You can see, again, how talented their players are. You see how hard they play, physical, you know, fundamentally sound. So, yeah, I can't say enough about, you know, this team. And, you know, we got to do what we, you know, the things that we know we need to do to be able to go in there and have success.
Do you have a sense yet of how much that rest will help some of your offensive linemen, and how much can that help if they're?
I think anytime they get some time off, that definitely helps. That's why we decided to do what we did last week. And so, you know, again, it's a long season, marathon of a season. There's still going to be bumps and bruises that guys are going to have to deal with. You know, that you feel your best day one of training camp usually. And then, you know, these guys are warriors. They battle through things throughout the entire year. And, but yeah, looking forward to getting back out at practice today and working.
What do you think clicked for your defensive line maybe halfway through the season?
I'm sorry, start that again.
What do you think clicked for your D-line? Maybe it was like halfway through the season, the production really increased. What do you think went into that?
Yeah, you're on this quest of getting – in this journey of getting better. You know, your block destruction gets better. Your tackling gets better with the amount of time that you spend working on it. And so that's your goal, is continue to try to play better each week, try to play the best football you can by the end of the year. And, yeah, it's just the daily grind and the commitment to getting better each day with the work that you put in the classroom, the work that you put in, you know, on the practice field and then the games that you play every Sunday.
Saquon had
Monday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday.
Saquon had verbalized at times wanting to stop the negative plays from his perspective and do what he can do. How do you think he progressed, talking about the defensive line, how do you think he progressed going on when he sort of verbalized that?
Yeah, obviously Saquon's a phenomenal back, and, you know, he's going to continue to get better as the season goes on. And, you know, we did a lot as a staff to help out with that, obviously, you know, execution being better, right? You know, everything plays into it. And then obviously Saquon, you know, getting the muddy yards that are there. You know, I think about the Washington game a couple of weeks ago, that run, you know, 5-yard run, he just kept driving his legs. And then there's runs that are 3-yard runs, even there are 2-yard runs there that you're like, man, that was a good, gritty run, even though you want to get 4+ each carry. But you know, I think he's done a nice job with that.
You were years ago prepared for him. Now you're preparing for him again. How have you seen, you know, over this last 2 years, how have you seen his progress?
Yeah, again, I just think he's a winner. You know, he's won everywhere he's went. And, you know, really good football player. Does a really good job with the system that they run. Has the ability to extend plays. His ability to find guys that are open and find the right receiver. Tough, you know, he's tough. So there's a reason they've been, you know, obviously all the really good players they have and good coaching that they have is why they've had sustained success, but they've had a really steady quarterback through that time as well.
Nick, you were once a first-time play caller. What are the challenges going in for the first time, and have you seen some of them countered by Kevin? How's he dealt with things overall?
Yeah, obviously there's always adjustments and you know, as you go through. I thought he's done a nice job of handling everything that's come his way, staying mentally sharp and, you know, and staying mentally tough, you know, because I know there's always going to be criticism, and, you know, you're probably not, as the offense coordinator, you might not get as much praise, but you're always going to get some criticism. And but I think he's done a nice job handling that, and, you know, I think that – you know, we've done some really good things, you know, and we're getting better as the season goes through. We got to be even more consistent. And, you know, obviously there's always times coming out of every game, there's going to be calls you want back. Players are going to have plays that you want back. I'm going to have decisions that we talk through or throughout the week or during the game that I'm going back, and that's the nature of this thing.
When you're game planning offensively, you know, how much of it and how do you balance it doing what you want to do versus being reactive to what you're seeing defensively? What have you found works better?
Yeah, you have to have an identity of what you want to do. I think it starts with that, is having an identity, but that's also, you know, there's a fine line there too. It's like, hey, I want to run this. Because this is part of our identity. Well, you might have to do some different things to get out of some, you know, hey, okay, well, maybe we don't run it versus this, or maybe we don't run it versus that, because you're setting yourself up and you're not for a bad play potentially. But I think it always starts with an identity. I think the best teams are always going to have an identity that they rest on, and that's what we've been trying to continue to accomplish throughout this year. And we know we know a lot of the things that we're good at and that we want to continue to try to press. But you know, they're watching tape too, and they're going to have answers for that. And so, there are things that you can call and run, and there's some things that part of your identity that you call on your terms, and you have both of those things as you going through.
Do you think you found the identity?
I do. I do. I think we are continuing to get better through that, and you know, I think that it's shown in these last, you know, some of these last games. You know, and obviously, yeah, Buffalo, we had a bad half. You know, where we didn't do a good enough job, you know, coaching. We didn't do a good enough job playing. But yeah, I think we have.
In the red zone, you've been so efficient. Just when it comes to the open field, what are the differences in finding that efficiency? Is it, are you able to attack more in those and get what you want in the red zone? And are there?
It's a similar deal, right? You know, again, you want to have identity in the red zone. You want to have identity in the field. You want to be able to attack also what they're doing. In those moments as well, you know, obviously a shorter field, you know, first down either gets you a touchdown or continues your drive. And so, you know, there's elements of how you attack, and how you go about, you know, trying to be efficient on both. Again, you always want to be moving the ball forward. When you get behind the sticks in the red zone and you're second and 11 or second and 9, that's hard to score. Well, it's the same thing in the field. When you get yourself behind the sticks, that makes it more difficult. That's why sacks, when you look at sacks or you look at negative plays, they tend to stall drives out. And when you have a lack of an explosive, they tend to. So it's always about staying ahead of the sticks. Obviously, different forms of ways to attack in the red zone. Whether it's going for the end zone, whether it's checking it down, whether it's, you know, different things like that. But, yeah.
So 5 years replacing Lane Johnson. Now, what changes in the times that he's on the field? Is there a sense of confidence among teammates? Do you call the game differently? What specifically about him changes the offense?
Yeah, one thing that's great about this league are all the, you know, the great players that we get to – that you guys get to watch, we get to coach, you know, we get to scout, we get to game plan against. That's such a cool part of this league. I can't tell you how many times I'm watching tape and I'm like, you know, watching something yesterday and Arizona tight end catches a ball. I'm like, man, this guy's a good player. Or, you know, something happens. I'm trying to think who else I said that about. Yeah, like Bosa. I'm like, man, this guy's a good player. Whoever it may be. And that's such a cool thing about this game because, yeah, but, you know, obviously Lane's a big difference maker, and, you know, I know he's working like crazy to get himself back, and, you know, we'll see where that is this week, and but he's a difference maker. He's one of the best that –
difference maker at that position.
He's one of the best that's ever done it. Yeah, again, I think I kind of get too much into scheme with that, but, yeah, he allows you to – you know, do some different things. But, you know, again, Fred's done a nice job when he's came in and played for him. We've won a lot of games with Fred in the lineup. But yeah, Lane is just a, you know, a difference maker, and it affects, you know, it can affect everything. So, you know, there's a reason he's going to the Hall of Fame. There's a reason he's going to be in the Eagles Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he's one of the best ever to do it at that position. And he shows that year and out through, I don't even know what year he's in now at this point. I've been with him for 5 years, and he just keeps getting better. 13. So, and I just been with him 5 years, and it feels like he just keeps getting better and better, which is a testament to Lane and how he takes care of his body and how he trains and how he mentally approaches this game of football that he loves. So, man, I could go on all day about him.
When it comes to Saquon, his carries are down a good deal from last year. Was that a conscious decision on your part when the season began, and B, like, you know, how fresh do you see him
going? I think sometimes that's just the flow of games, the way things go sometimes. You know, I know sometimes last year he was out early. You know, obviously our run game hasn't been as efficient as it was last year, so sometimes you get a little less carries there because you're doing other things with it. So, but yeah, all things, I'm excited about where we go forward and, you know, how he's feeling and excited about this week.
Going into your second playoffs with Vic Fangio as your defensive coordinator, how much does that experience help in these playoffs, but also how have you seen him evolve in his job?
Yeah, like I said about Vic in the past, like, you know, he's had so much success for decades in the NFL. And so you don't have that if you just stuck in, you know, one mode all the time. He's constantly evolving. He's constantly, you know, his defenses are different than, you know, when he first started calling defenses. And so he's just always evolving, loves the game, this game, and works his butt off to put the guys in the best positions that they possibly can be in. And so, yeah, I'm just glad he's our defensive coordinator, and he's been a big, you know, big reason for why we've had the success that we've had.
Can you talk about
in terms of just maintaining the edge, coming off a Super Bowl win, and how has it motivated you to kind of maintain a chip yourself coming off a win?
Yeah, you're always judged in this league by your last game. You're always judged in this league by what you've done, you know, here. And it's, you know, I think when I studied a lot of great teams in the past and great coaches in the past, what was the secret to sustained success? It always came back down to, you know, there's a lot of things that coaches talk to me about, but it always came down to two things: staying in the moment, not looking too far ahead. Like, hey, how are we going to do this thing again? There's a lot of work that goes into, you know, achieving the ultimate goal. And there's a lot of steps and there's a lot of process, and you got to go through those things. And then on the other end of the spectrum was like, hey, resting on your laurels. Well, we'll get back there because we've done it. Nobody cares in this league, right? You have to put the work in every single day to help yourself continue to get better, to put yourself in position to win each week and win in the playoffs. So we just tried to stay where our feet were there. I know this, like, for these guys that coach, I know for myself, it's like, you play a game of pickup basketball. You don't win the game. You don't take your shoes off and say, I'm content. I mean, we're here in this spot because you want to run it back and you want to play and compete again. That's part of the reason why you're here. I mean, that's any game. If I'm playing Sorry with my kids and I win, I want to play again and go again. So I don't let them win that often. But sometimes I do, but yeah, that's that. I think that's just the competitive nature of, and why, you know, there's a reason that the people are in this building that are in this building, because they have that hunger. But yeah.
Hey, can you talk about Dallas Goedert, what he's meant to the offense and the red zone success that you've had and how he's played into that?
Yeah. Dallas is obviously a great player. Tough, physical. I think that always comes to my mind when I think about Dallas, is his physicality. And you look at the best tight ends in this league, you know, Kittle, who we're playing, Dallas, they have that physicality. They have that anger when they run, and tough to bring down, and that the ability to have yards after catch. So be two great tight ends on the field this week, battling against each other. But Dallas has obviously been, you know, a key piece to the sustained success that we've had, and he's had a good run in the red zone this year. And you know, that frees up other people too in situations with that. So, but yeah, he's had a nice year.
All right, last one.
Can you talk about the impact that the development of play that Zach Wan has had on your team's results over the last two seasons? I think he's probably played as much as any player, and whether you've been surprised at how he continues to evolve.
Yeah, I think after last year and you know, maybe like I think I said last year is like he kind of burst onto the scene, right, to the outside world as we watched him. You know, it's how he brought him to us, and we watched him. We're like, yeah, this guy's really, you know, good special teams player, has great athletic ability. And then practice started happening in training camp and in OTAs, and you're like, man, this guy is physical. He's to the ball. He has a knack for the football. And so I guess we don't get surprised by that, because you see it in an everyday setting of the way he goes about his business and the plays that he made in practice and all those different things. But I would say just so happy for him with the way he has continued to develop his game. And I think he just keeps getting better. You know, he hasn't played a ton inside. Obviously, he's played more than anybody these last 2 years, but he just keeps getting better and better and better. And I think that's a testament to the athletic ability that he has and the traits that he has, but also the type of person he is and the work ethic that he has and the leader that he is. You know, there's a reason these guys voted him a team captain. And he's just got this, people just want to be around him. And he's an energy giver. And that's huge when you're in the middle of that defense and when you have that C on your chest.
All right. Thank you.
All right, there it was. Nick Sirianni's Wednesday press conference. On this playoff week. Are a couple things. And, of course, listen to the midday show here.
Lane Johnson. Did I miss that?
Well, no, there was a Lane Johnson question. He was a little evasive here.
Okay.
He talked about how Lane is a great player and he's working to get back. Again, we had a caller earlier who's guaranteeing Lane Johnson's going to play. I hope he plays, and I think he's going to certainly be at practice this week. We'll find out. I'm interested to see how they list him at practice. Is he a full participant? Is he a limited participant? Is he not practicing? Is he just there? We'll find out today.
Well, I would think he would have to be Wednesday full participant today. I mean, he could still play. He could be a limited participant.
And still play, yeah.
Yeah, but I would think that he would try to figure out where he feels or how he feels today.
Yeah, I am not sold yet he's going to play. I hope he does. I hope he's perfectly fine. It's just – it's been a strange couple weeks of reporting this. Elliot's been talking about this. We're going to have him on at 1 o'clock. So we'll see on Lane Johnson. The other thing that stood out to me was Sirianni was asked if he thinks they found their identity on offense. He said he does. Then he went on to say that they had a good first half against the Bills and then not so much in the second half. Do you think they have found their identity on offense?
No.
Okay.
But to be fair to Coach Sirianni in this situation, I'm not in the building every day. From what I've seen, and given that you only get a certain amount of practices, and you've had so many during the course of the season, and the offense still look the same, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say no.
Okay.
I'm gonna go no for 100 there, Joe.
Yeah. I wish the first half in Buffalo was the second half, because then we could go in like, well, see what they did in the second half. That's them. But like the last impression was zilch. That's the last. I mean, they didn't do anything. So no,
the last depression was week 18.
Well, don't get Hugh started on that. We've already done 2 days.
We had Jason Abbott sit in, and you know how he felt about it. But it was just
glad we asked him right before a break, because you two would have just, especially no, you. I mean, you've been on this for days.
I think they're going to play better. What does that look like? I don't think anybody can tell you that. I don't think that anybody has the blueprint of how this game is going to go. I think they're going to win. Don't know what it's going to look like.
Oh, I think they're going to win, too, and it's going to be tight. I mean, that's the way I feel. All right, this segment brought to you by Meineke. It's the playoffs. Make sure your car is game day ready. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. Rick in Delaware, topic on the screen in front of me. Joe Giglio is a complete fool. Good afternoon, Rick.
How are you?
Rick, I'm great. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I actually had to call because, you know, I listen to the show daily. I actually live in Florida now. Listen on the Odyssey app. Get the morning show bitch, you guys, and then obviously the late show as I'm driving throughout the day. Your ranking of Jalen Hurts in the playoffs is a complete and utter joke.
Why?
It is so biased.
When did he rank him?
You ranked him?
You ranked him.
Well, I graded him. I gave him grades for each of the players.
Okay, but grading and ranked is two different
so
things.
So why? So tell me why it's biased. The first, like, you're coming at it as if I don't like the guy rather than I'm just grading the games.
Oh, you don't like the guy. Well,
that's not true.
Clear.
That's not true.
Okay. Every time you're on the radio, you take pop shots.
Every time.
No, that's not my birthday. It's not true. Well, when he played better.
Hold on.
I want to just make sure we're clear on this. When he played better, I liked him more, Rick. And when he plays worse, I don't like him as much. I do that with every single player. It's not about Jalen Hurts. It's about how he plays. I don't know how long we're going to do this. Like, I've been here for a long time. I'm going to do this until they tell me I can't come in here anymore. When a player plays well, I'm going to like him
tomorrow,
a lot.
Please?
Well, no, maybe if you get your way, maybe, Rick. But we'll finish our conversation. When a player plays great, I'm going to like him. And when a player plays not great, I'm not going to be as big of a fan. Like, this isn't rocket science. But now your turn.
Okay. Your definition of great is unrealistic. Okay. When are people, and this goes for listeners too, when is everybody going to realize you can't have perfect games every single time?
I don't think anyone expects that.
You're not going to come out with 140-plus passer rating, 5 touchdowns, 400 yards. That's unrealistic.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that's what you want. But when Jalen Hurts turns around and has a game that you ranked a B, which was the championship game, against the 49ers the first time.
Yeah, and I think I'm being generous with the B, by the way.
You're being generous with 3 rushing touchdowns, 1 passing touchdown, 250 yards on an injured shoulder. And that's not an A. He doesn't get no credit for Hart. He doesn't get no credit for that being his first championship game.
That was not what we're grading, but I mean, I give him credit for Hart. But that's not the grading scale that we're using.
But Rick, what are you talking? Hold on. What are you talking about in that particular game? Hold on. This is why, Rick. Like, you can call me names, but when you come on the radio and you just make stuff up, I have a responsibility to the audience to tell them what happened. Rick, in the first championship game against the Niners, Jalen Hurts was 15 of 25. He threw for 121 yards. That was 4.8 yards an attempt. He had a 72.2 passer rating. He ran 11 times for 39 yards. He counted for 1 total touchdown.
On a touch
what
push.
Are you talking about?
All right. I had AI overview. So
I got to stop. This is the second caller today. I got to be honest. AI is making us all so freaking dumb. Rick, it was 4 years ago. If you don't remember the game, go to Pro Football Reference. Like, this is the second caller that's come up with AI slop. Dude, like, you could call me.
I wouldn't tell nobody I'm getting my AI stuff.
Yeah, don't you hold on with the AI. You could call me a fool. You searched AI, Rick, and AI was wrong, and I'm the fool. Like, do you realize how dumb you sound?
Damn.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Okay.
That's good.
Okay. Okay.
No problem. I was
Rick, hold on. You both watched the same game.
Guess he told you, Joe.
You came on here to call me a fool for my grading system. Your grading system was wrong. You had the wrong freaking stats, man.
Okay.
So what are you talking about?
Your grading system is wrong.
Okay. Rick, so whose grading system is better? Your AI or mine? My brain, Rick. I watched the game.
This is wild.
Yeah, I watched the game too. I'm sorry, I don't remember every detail. Neither do you.
Well, yes, I do. I mean, I do remember every detail. Well, I do.
No, you really don't.
Well, I do.
That's what I'm talking about, Rick.
I just sit on the
attack Joe personally. Attack him.
And turn around and every comment you make, turn around and blast you on how it's such a biased opinion.
Blasting. Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else besides the AI overview? Or are we just going to read AI?
Your entire synopsis of it. Who do you think is better than Hurts?
Well, a lot of quarterbacks. I mean,
A lot of quarterbacks. Yeah. No. Name me 5.
Name you 5 quarterbacks that are better than him?
Yep.
Okay, let's go. Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen.
Mahomes off, because I'll give you Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford.
Okay. Have you seen the way Stafford's played the last couple games?
Oh, my God,
Rick. You guys all giving Rick, Stafford all this been, wonderful have, credit.
Wait a minute. Hold up, Rick. Have you seen how Matt Stafford been playing these last few games?
Yeah.
I'm out, Rick. Rick, I'm out, pal. I'll see you later.
Wait a minute. Five turnovers. Yeah.
Rick,
now?
That's the way to cut me off, Joe.
No, I'm not. I'm leaving you on the air. I'm leaving. Rick, I'm out.
Wait to try to take his voice.
I'll see you. Rick, I'm out.
Now I'm going to get you.
I'm out.
Hold on.
Good. Thank God. I irritated him enough the way he irritates me.
Is that right? Okay, now yeah. Get me. Do me.
So,
do me now. Do
so
me.
Let's go back to Stafford, Stu.
Okay, you say, you say he threw five picks?
Yeah.
In what game?
The last couple games.
Okay, let me help you out. The last game against Arizona.
You still talking to Rick? Rick, I left.
No, he didn't throw no picks. He didn't throw no picks in the last game, Rick. I'm looking at it right now. I'm using the Google.
Okay. Not the AI overview.
The
right?
game before that.
Googly. The Google. The game before that, let me get you, man. I got you. Give me a second because I'm working on the computer.
This is taking
you. against the Falcons, threw three interceptions.
Okay.
That's not five.
Back to when he played.
It's not. No, yes, not five all year. That was more AI,
I
it looks
said
like.
The last couple of games.
Okay, well, you know what, Rick? I give you that. He threw six. The last two games. The game against Seattle and – Rick, if you let me speak, I'm going to answer the question. He threw six picks. But guess who's the number one quarterback in the NFL this season with those six picks that he's thrown?
Hold on.
You're absolutely
six
right.
Picks?
He's being ranked as the number one quarterback.
In the two games.
No.
Against,
based off a touchdown.
No, against the Atlanta Falcons, he threw three.
Three.
And in the game against Seattle, he threw three.
No.
In Seattle, wait a minute, Kyle. The Seattle game, he did throw three. Wait a minute, am I looking at the wrong game?
Yes, you are.
Okay, the Atlanta game, he threw three interceptions.
Kyle,
he get three interceptions, right?
You, buddy.
And the Atlanta game, you know what I did, Kyle?
Atlanta game, three picks. Seattle, zero. The other Seattle,
you know what I
let's
did?
See,
I,
another
I pushed,
zero.
I pushed Seattle three times. I pushed Atlanta three times.
Yeah, it's okay.
Times,
so
my bad. But he threw three picks, though. Okay, so Rick, you're wrong.
Guys, technology is
not our friend.
Kicking
today.
Our ass.
I'm telling you, the AI
right
thinks a problem. It's a big problem. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, then this is what I'm going to do for you.
No,
guys.
It was three TDs he threw against
Seattle. Those are good.
Those are different.
Yeah,
that's
on you, by the way.
Yeah, that's on me.
Not
I'm going to turn around.
It's all clearly
because
wait a minute. Now, what argument were you having,
Rick? I thought you were done. I came back. Rick's still here.
You said in a couple games. So a couple is two, right? So you said he threw five. So me and you both was wrong.
Okay, so I exaggerated. Okay, I'm irritated.
Oh, all right. So we.
So basically,
so when we exaggerated, right now I broke the mic here. When we exaggerate,
Joe.
We're allowed to make things
walk
up.
Away,
I like
Joe.
That.
Said,
I like
walk
that.
Away, Joe.
He said, "Walk away,
walk
Joe."
Away, Joe.
Now I came back. Rick, I left, Rick.
So
I left, and you're still here, Rick.
The mouthful, Rick. Ooh, Rick talking to you, any kind.
What? I'm going to continue to be here because I'm going to turn around and listen to your entire show. I will take the notes.
That'll show me.
I will do my research. I will make sure my research
Just no AI this time.
Accurate. No AI.
No AI.
No this, no that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Appreciate
but
you,
stop
man.
Stop taking select picks. I mean, giving the guy an F for his first playoff game.
It was an F.
He didn't play great. No.
Don't give him D either.
What would you give him?
Don't give him no D.
What would you give him?
I would have given him maybe a C-.
Maybe a C-. They were down 30-0.
Yeah, the entire team. That's not just Jalen. You turn around and say it's not Jalen Hurts when they're winning.
He's bad
but right now, you're putting that whole game on Jalen Hurts.
No, we were talking about him specifically. And when you're down 30-0, the quarterback can't be playing well, Rick. I mean, let's be real.
No, he can't.
Okay,
but neither is everybody else.
I wish, Rick. I wish in school I had you as a teacher. I mean, your grading system is easy, Rick. I mean, I would have done a lot better than I did, Rick. I love you, man. Appreciate it. We got to watch out with the AI, folks.
Yeah,
we got to watch out.
I just Googled the wrong thing.
We got more on AI later, by the way.
Oh, God. I broke the mic. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to the nonsense after the break. Jalen Hurts, do you expect him to play better in the playoffs? I mean, it's very simple. Just say yes if you say yes. Instead of using AI to throw. I mean, Rick had me for a second. I was like, wait, you know what? Maybe I miscalculated. Maybe Jalen did have three touchdowns in that game. And then I looked, and he had one. Not three, one.
Yeah, we all did. We all messed up the stats today.
I don't know if we all did.
Well, no. No, you and Rick did.
I just don't want to take that L.
Yeah.
You have to.
I shouldn't have left you alone, Rick. That was on me. That was on left.
You left Hugh to his own devices, and he mixed up touchdowns and interceptions.
Rick said, walk away, Joe.
We need you here, Joe. We need
walk
you.
Away.
All right. Coming up, we'll get to a massive NFL story from yesterday and how it could affect the Eagles. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.